Was looking better. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Yeah, Jenny, we were talking about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school, that God knows everything about us, and He still loves us anyway. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad that takes place, folks? I sure am. That don't happen on a human level, does it? Seems like the more folks know about you, the less they like you. Not always, but sometimes. Well, we're still doing the names of God, and I have to tell you right up front, I'm as excited about this one as I was last week, and maybe even more so. This is going to be a two-part deal. I just refuse to rush through the meaning of tonight simply because I want to pick apart this particular passage of Scripture, and it's going to take more than just one Sunday night. So this is a two-part thing, and I'll let you know from the very beginning. If you got a Bible with you, this is going to be exceptionally familiar to you. Psalm 23. I love this psalm, and I didn't realize just exactly how deep it actually runs until you begin to look closely to see what David is actually trying to say here. He's talking about his confidence, obviously, in the wonderful, amazing grace of God. So we'll read this, and then we'll go back and take a look at some things related to it. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For years and years and years, people have found comfort in these words written by David. You know, when my dad was growing up, he used to tell me how much he liked Superman. And he tells this very funny story about what took place. He said he was in the service, and he had been reading as much as he could get his hands on for most of the day. Apparently, they had some kind of a day off or whatever. And he had read Superman magazines or comic books nearly all day long. And he said he was on a top bunk, and the guy that was below him was telling this story. He says, I kept hearing you make some weird and strange noises. And he said, then I felt the bed move. And he said, I looked up and you were standing in your bunk with your blanket pulled up around your shoulders like this. And he said, I was thinking to myself, what is this crazy man fixing to do? And my dad told me after he stood up there and his bunkmate was watching him, he stepped out to the edge of his bunk. And of course, you know what's coming next. He thought he was Superman. So he flew off the top bunk with his blanket around his neck. And he said, I didn't break nothing, but I sure did bruise up a lot of stuff when I hit the concrete floor in the barracks. But you know, Superman could turn just about any situation into something special. I mean, he makes a heroic rescue. If you've watched these things, you know, and he does this with great strength and great finesse, and they've made movies about him. And I'm reading in this book, and the guy's talking about a movie scene in Superman, the movie, where this guy is trapped in an inferno. It's burning, and he has no way out. And Superman swoops in and grabs him up, and he rescues him from certain death. And while he's flying this guy away from the fire, the fellow looks over at him, and he says to him, basically, he says, what's wrong with you? Superman says, what's wrong with you? You don't look right. He says, well, I'm very much afraid, and I'm way up here, and if I fall, I'm going to die. And Superman looked at him basically, and he says, listen, he said, do you think that I have enough power to rescue you from a burning building, but I don't have enough power to take you home? That makes no sense. And what's funny about that is he goes on to say, this illustration graphically reflects a similar but a more profound truth. Some of us have trusted the Lord Jesus, okay, to deliver us from the very fires of hell based on our personal relationship with Him, our saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But we're not sure that He can actually take us home. And he goes on to say, we believe in Him for eternity, but sometimes we don't have much confidence in Him in the history of our being on the planet here. We know He's going to take us to heaven, but we're not sure He's got our back on earth. And I thought that was pretty interesting, and you know, to use Superman as an illustration, but it's kind of true in certain ways. You know, the whole point being is we need to be careful here of the things that we're used to seeing and how we're used to doing these things. Here's the point. This illustration tells us very profoundly that Jesus can and will take care of us. He says, if you're one of these people, even if you're too embarrassed to admit it publicly, he said, I want you to know that the next name of God that we're talking about is just for you. And we find it in a psalm, and we just read that psalm, and it has the power to change your very life. And he goes on to say this, we find that in a psalm. You undoubtedly know the psalm already, but we've got familiar with that, and it keeps for you and I to understand and experience its fullest meaning, and it begins out by, the Lord is my shepherd. So basically, we're going to talk about Jehovah Rohi, all right? Jehovah Rohi, that is the Lord, my shepherd. Now, do you suppose we know a lot about being shepherds? Anybody here raise sheep? Anybody here had the misfortune of having sheep? Anybody here had the misfortune of being around sheep or smelling sheep? Okay? That's what the name is. Jehovah Rophi, what God does for David here, or what David testifies about God. And he said, my Lord is my shepherd. Now that comes with all kinds of different understandings and meanings. King David wrote this psalm, and I believe it. If you remember correctly, what was David before he was King David? He was a shepherd. And you know what he did? He kept his father's sheep. So if anybody could write a psalm about the Lord being his shepherd, David would certainly be able to write that, because that was part of his life experience. When he was a young man, he was keeping his father's sheep. And if you remember correctly, when they were looking for a king, and they brought all the sons of his dad, I can't think of his dad's name all of a sudden, run off the top of my head. What is it? Jesse, thank you. They brought all of Jesse's sons before Samuel, I believe it was, and he was going to pick out who was going to be the king. And all the brothers looked more like kings than David would ever look like. And they asked him, he says, do you have any more sons? Oh, yeah, by the way, I've got this one young one that's out there watching my sheep. Well, you need to go get him. And you all know that story. They basically picked David to be the king because God wanted to know what was going on the inside here. So I believe that King David wrote this psalm, and he could see and picture in his own mind and in his own heart what he had been when he was a shepherd. So that happened long before this guy became a king. And it wouldn't have been difficult for David to do this, to compare his shepherding experience to the way God had shepherded him over the years. Now, I didn't know a great deal about shepherds, so began to read up a little bit about shepherds. It's interesting that David would say, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not a shepherd. It's my shepherd. So David understands clearly that this is all about a relationship. David is going to give God the credit that God is due, and he's going to make us aware that we have every right and understanding that we could call the Lord our shepherd as well. He is Jehovah Rohi, and he have revealed himself to David that way, and David wrote the psalm. So he's able to use some of the things that he learned on his old job to describe his relationship with God and to give us beautiful and poetic piece of poetry here. And I love this. I absolutely love this whole process. The guy who wrote this book says, if you live in an urban or a suburban area like I do, you're not likely to encounter a lot of sheep. And you probably haven't been a shepherd. But everyone knows that a shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. Would you agree with that? Okay. And I think that's cool, to take care of the sheep. People today look at various things to take care of them. We talked a little bit about it this morning. What are we counting on to take care of us? Is it a bank account? Is it power? Is it relationships with other people? Is it success? Is it yourself? You know, the whole point being here is David realized and recognized that the Lord was his shepherd, and he looked to Jehovah to take care of his life, and he called him a shepherd. David knew what it was like to be a shepherd because he had lived that whole process. So it goes on and said, so notice that David uses the present tense in this psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He did not say, the Lord was my shepherd. He did not say, the Lord might be my shepherd at some point in time. He used the present tense, just like Paul. When Paul was talking about being the chief of sinners, he did not say, I was the chief of sinners, or I used to be the chief of sinners. So the grammar here speaks volumes to us. At this particular point in David's life, he has come to realize that as he lives and breathes in that very moment, the Lord is my shepherd. I love that. It's a personal pronoun. He's not just a shepherd. He's my shepherd is what David says. In other words, he's letting us know that God is his personal shepherd. God is interested not only in the group, but he's also interested in the individual sheep. Isn't that great to know? God's not just interested in his church collectively. God is interested in each one of us as we have that relationship with him. So guess what? He's the shepherd, so what's that make us? Oh boy, the sheep. That may or may not be a good thing. I don't know a whole lot about sheep, but I'm learning quite often. He said, we often skim past those five words without fully grasping all that's contained in them. When you examine them, you realize that Psalm 23 is a personal psalm, and the Lord is a personal shepherd, and he is a right now God. Why is this important? Because we need to have an up-to-date history with God. When you ask someone to give their testimony, a lot of times they talk about what's happened 10 or 15 or 20 or 40 or 50 years ago. But what's God doing now? Is he still your shepherd today? Do we still have that same kind of confidence that he's going to take care of us today and tomorrow? So in the remainder of this psalm, David goes ahead and explores various ways in which a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And the parallel is that it's the same way that God takes care of us. You know, we're going to attempt to get our head around this whole process and God's care of us as his sheep and God's care of us as a shepherd. So, let's move on. What does he say? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Really? In other words, David sees God as the one who covers all of his needs, takes care of all of his needs. The Bible talks about every good thing that comes our way comes to us because God loves us and God cares for us as his children. So this is true of a good shepherd. He tends to the needs of the sheep. And it's still true for Jehovah Rohi in our life. God takes care of our needs, okay? He has us covered. John 10:14, New Testament. What does the word say? Jesus is the good shepherd. So what does a good shepherd do? All right? I'm glad you asked. There's also some more scripture here in the Word of God. It's Old Testament scripture, but it talks about shepherds. And I love this. This is powerful. Jeremiah 23:4. God promises to provide good shepherds for his people, and as a result, they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking. That's the word of God. God loves you and I enough to provide other good shepherds for us in our lifetime that we might not fear, that we might not be frustrated or dismayed, and that we would not be lacking. Okay? Ezekiel 32:2-4. God explains what he expects a shepherd to do. Feed the flock, strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind up the broken, bring back the strays, seek the lost. That's what shepherds do. Those are the things that are expected of God, are shepherds. And there's more. John 10:11 says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The best shepherd is the one who's willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, to put his own life on the line for his sheep. The book says this. So when selecting a shepherd for your own life, the proof of a good one is whether he's willing to give his life for you. Good shepherds would be willing to give their life for the sheep. That's the word of God. That's what it says, and that's what it means. So here's the deal. You know, it goes on to say, and you have proof that Jesus Christ is such a shepherd because giving his life is exactly what Christ has done for you and I. But in order for him to be your shepherd, you must first recognize yourself as a sheep. Shepherds don't tend wild dogs or wolves. Shepherds don't tend, any other kinds of animals. They tend sheep. So if you don't think of yourself as a sheep, you won't experience what your shepherd has for you. Now I'm fixing to stop preaching and go to meddling. I'm just warning you ahead of time. If Jesus is our good shepherd, if he is our Jehovah Rohi, does that not make us sheep? Okay? The analogy is fairly clear. If he's going to be our shepherd, that makes us sheep. So why is it that we would need a good shepherd? Let's talk about sheep. What do you know about sheep? You know what, Randy? That's the very first line of the next part of this message tonight. Sheep are exceptionally dumb. See, you can get away with saying that. I'm going to be in trouble. So, in order to see Jesus as our good shepherd, do we not have to, at certain times, recognize that we ain't the brightest bulb in the bag? I've been saying it for a long time. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Okay, let's just be real. There are moments when we're hard to teach. There are moments when we miss the truth. There are moments when we're too stubborn to be taught. And if you start sheep walking in a circle, if one sheep begins to walk in a circle, do you know what happens? The rest of the flock begin walking in a circle behind that sheep. And they're not really going anywhere. They're moving, but they're not making any progress, okay? So movement's not always progress, even though they might even think that they're going somewhere. Sheep are not the brightest animals in the world, all right? What is that? Okay, yeah, that's the upside to being a sheep, is you can lead them because they can't lead themselves. They're not smart enough to lead themselves. Here's another thing about sheep. You can't train them. Have you ever seen a sheep at a carnival? You ever seen a sheep that jumps through a hoop? You ever seen a sheep march around to the instructions of a shepherd? Not likely. No sheep trainers exist that I'm aware of. They're not terribly bright. Okay, they don't really possess the resources to be trained. God is aware of that, and so are shepherds. But consider this. The Word of God says it clearly, Isaiah 53, verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, Isaiah 53, verse 6. Another sad reality about sheep is they are basically defenseless. There's no warrior sheep. They don't know how to defend themselves. They have no tools with which to defend themselves. They don't have massive sharp pointed teeth. They don't have sharp claws to claw things up with. They're not exceptionally fast. They're easy prey for their enemy, and they don't know how to fight back. Listen, this is a lot like people sometimes. We think we're strong until the enemy gets a really good hold on us. Has the devil ever whispered in your ear and confused you about something? Have you ever felt the attack of spiritual warfare on your life? Have you ever felt like the devil was doing his very best to destroy everything that you're trying to build into your life? I mean, it's really true. We are weaker than we think when we come to the place where we have to discuss those things that the devil does, okay? Here's another thing. They're dirty, and they don't know how to clean themselves. I thought this was crazy. They have wool, and it's thick, and it collects lots of dirt and debris in their skin, and they don't know how to clean themselves up. So they sweat, and they can't get clean, so they're dirty, and they need assistance on how to get clean. Does that sound anything like us as a human being? We all come as sinners. We all come dirty in the eyes of God because the Word of God says that our righteousness to Him is what? Like filthy rags. So let's just get real for a second. And here's another one last thing about sheep. They are basically dependent. They need to be led by a shepherd. Miss Lizzie, what you had to say is, yes, they are obedient. But they will follow whatever leader is out there. Okay? So they're dependent on whatever shepherd shows up to take care of those things. Jesus said, the sheep will know me by my voice. And the best shepherds in the world, the sheep actually know them by their voice and they follow that particular leadership. But they're dependent upon that leadership. They are directionally and positionally challenged, for lack of a better way to say that. And I won't tell you the little, whatever you call those things, parentheses. I've got something written in there, and I'm thinking better about not sharing that. Diane's pointing her finger at me because she knows. why not? I'll just go ahead and say it. My wife is directionally challenged. And you have said it yourself, Diane. So while I'm being thrown under the bus, let's just get real with this. She said, you can take me in the backyard and spin me around 3 times and I'll be lost. So I'm married to a sheep. And I love my little Bo Peep. What was that I said a little earlier? I ain't the brightest bulb in the bag. Now you know. Didn't take tonight, did it? They don't always know which way to go or that they even should go at all. So when you begin to picture how sheep are described for you and I in the Bible, we begin to understand how much more important it is for you and I to understand that Jesus, He is our good shepherd, that the Lord is my good shepherd. He's the one that leads me. And we'll get to some of that next week. Talks about green pastures and quiet waters and a restored soul. I want to read something for you. I looked at this stuff today as I was getting it prepared, and I thought, well, do you really want to read all that from the book? And here's the answer to that. Absolutely. Because I can't say it better than this. Most all of us know what it's like to have a flat tire. I realize they're only flat on one side, but they're still flat, okay? And did you know that you can have a flat tire in your soul? Do you realize, honestly and truthfully, that we get, sometimes our spiritual get up and go has kind of got up and left, or it's got a little hole in it? I love what Jerry Goodell says, and you'll know who Jerry Goodell is on Thanksgiving weekend, on the Sunday afterwards. He said, you know, the problem with a living sacrifice is it can crawl off the altar. And the thing about it is that being filled with the Spirit is one thing, but sometimes we leak. So what do we make of that? Here's what I make of that. There are times when people lose their passion for the Lord. They lose the desire to do the things that God is calling them to do. Let's just get real for a second. Not everything that God wants us to do are we in favor of. When He works on you and I involved spiritually and individually, one of the things that takes place there sometimes is that I'm not sure that I like God's plan nearly as much as I would like my own plan if I could write it for myself. You ever been there? You ever been to that place where maybe you just kind of lose your passion about all this stuff? Sometimes people get lost in their desire. They drag themselves into church, not really wanting to be here, if they go at all. He said, maybe you're one of these people. Maybe right now God seems to be a long way off, as if he has taken a vacation and you don't know where to find him. You may feel as if a slow leak is deflating your life. I've watched these slow leaks, and you had them too. You get a little bitty tiny nail or a little bitty tiny screw in this big old tire, and what does it do? It don't fix itself, does it? It leaks, and it goes flat on you if you don't pay attention to it. You might feel like you have an ache on the inside that reminds you that you would love to feel better, but you just can't. You want to be restored, but you just don't know how. And David begins to talk to you and I, and he says, you need to know Jehovah Rohi, because he's the one who restores your soul for you. How in the world does God do that? Why is it that I'm supposed to look at the Lord Jesus as my shepherd? What does he do for me that I can't do for myself? We have half a night. We could really begin to talk about that. But here's what I understand, and I believe it. It says he makes you to lie down in green pastures. What on earth does that mean? Keep in mind that this passage does not say that God asked you to lie down in a green pasture. Don't think that him wanting you to lie down in a green pasture was a suggestion that he made to you. David helps us to understand that he puts you, God makes you lie down. And how does that happen? Sometimes he puts you in a situation and me in a situation where I don't have any other option than to just simply lean on him. I am a sheep in need of a shepherd. I am clueless as to the direction that I might need to go in. I'm not very easily taught. Maybe I'm stubborn in my way. Maybe I'd like to mark my own path. Maybe I'm walking in circles and thinking I'm doing something, but I'm not really going anywhere at all. We are more like sheep than we might want to agree with. But what does a shepherd do? Shepherd doesn't write you off. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, he decides to make you lie down in a green pasture. I'd never really thought about this psalm that way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why in the world would he do that? Because sometimes we need to disconnect from the crazy rat race that we put our life into. Occasionally we need to stop. And sometimes God will put something in your path that will cause you to slow down. It will cause you to lie down. Maybe it's a medical condition. Maybe it's a financial loss. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's some other kind of situation, a breakdown in a relationship. You ever had a little kid in your house, a little toddler? All right. When it's nap time and you say to them, it's time for your nap, what's the basic response? Ain't happening today, not here, not now. Both of our boys did not want to take a nap, ever. It's like they were afraid they were going to miss something, okay? Usually, you know, they try to stall you, or they have an argument, or they just outright rebel, because the last thing that a toddler wants to do is to lie down, okay? You know, you rub their backs, or you talk to them, or you lay them down, and you rock them on your shoulder. And just about the time you think that they're ready to go to sleep, they pop their little heads up and say, hello, how are you? Or some kind of crazy stuff like that. Or, you just thought I was asleep. I'm not asleep. Your intention is to put them asleep. You want them to stop. You want them to lie down and go to sleep. Do you think there's ever a time that God would like for you and I just to call time out? That he puts us in a situation where we need to call time out and simply say, okay, whatever it is you want, I'm good with that. Remember, we are talking about sheep, okay? So when those toddlers we're somewhat like them. God wants us to stop. He wants us to relax. God hadn't changed our situation because he's waiting on you and I to just put it in park. He's waiting on you and I to call a time out. Sometimes he doesn't change the situation that we're dealing with in our life. He wants you to stop your rebellion. He wants you to lie down in this green pasture and to not be so self-sufficient. He's keeping you right where he wants you until you've learned to rest in him and declaring your trust in him and your dependence on him. He makes you to lie down, and you're going to discover there what David discovered. He chooses the greenest of pastures so that we can rest. He gives us the softest place, and all he wants us to do is to realize that he has control. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd, and the Word of God calls our Lord Jesus the Good Shepherd. And he is the shepherd that takes care of all the things that you and I cannot take care of. I want to read something else for you, if I can find my place. David tells us that Jehovah Rohi leads him beside quiet waters. I found this to be fascinating. Some translation says still waters. In other words, we aren't led by running water. And you know why that is? Sheep won't drink from running water. I had no idea. Why is that significant? Because sometimes we need to be aware, like sheep, they're not very sure-footed. And if they wander into the water, and they'll spend all their time and energy trying to get out of that water, and if they lose their balance and they fall in, most likely, if it's deep at all, they are going to drown, because the wool is like a sponge. And if they went in weighing 70 pounds, now they probably weigh 150 pounds because they're completely soaked with water and their wool is saturated, and they now have no, because they're not very sure-footed to begin with. They're not like mountain goats. They can't just walk the unlevel terrain. Another reason why they're led. And many of them will lose their balance. And then they're going to drown in that particular place. So if a shepherd is unable to locate still water for sheep, what he winds up doing is finding the running water and making a channel somehow, like a little ditch or whatever, where the water will run out there and where they are allowed to drink from what is now still water. And they maintain their stability. And here's what I want you to hear, and I love this. When we rest in the Lord, our shepherd, he leads us into environments that we can handle. Tell me that's not beautiful. He provides green grass and still water for our spiritual restoration. It's like a cordless phone that's been off the hook too long. We can become spiritually drained with all the challenges that life has, and we need a soul recharge so that we can function again as God intended. If you read much about the life of David, it was not a picnic. He was a great warrior. He was a great poet. He was a great king, but he had a lot of difficult things in his life. And he had Saul, who literally hated him because of the praise that he got when he killed Goliath. And he spent a long time in his life running from a guy who was trying to kill him because he was simply jealous of David's success. So when we think about this process, you know, Jehovah Rohi is going to lead David beside this still water. He's going to provide for him there what David could not provide for himself. And I want to close with this particular illustration. Let me find it. God often allows us to be in situations that rob us of our self-sufficiency so that we will learn to rest in him. He wants us to realize that if he doesn't restore our soul, it won't get restored. If he doesn't empower us, we won't be empowered. He wants to bring you and I to the end of ourselves so that when we look up, all that we see is him. I love that. All we see is Him. But some of us stall, or we argue, or we rebel for a long time before we're willing to lie down and rest again in Him. So God continues to allow scenarios that force us to rest, to let go, and to trust Him to care for us. And when we do let go, we discover, just as David did, that God will restore our soul. God will re-empower our passion and our desire to serve Him. And it takes some time, but the result is certainly worth it all. And we rest in Him, and He restores our sense of hope and our purpose in our life. Here's the deal. As the sheep, we don't always make the right choice. We need Him more than we realize. And sometimes in our lives, we wander around and we aren't much different than the sheep. We need a leader. We need a guide. We need a shepherd. We need a protector. We need somebody who's going to guide us through the most difficult of times. And if we are left on our own and our own strength, we make poor choices. We become defenseless in the attack of Satan. And I think the parallels makes a lot of sense. So David is trying to get us to understand, look, you don't have to do this on your own. You don't need to fear as a sheep. You have a great, wonderful shepherd. He gives this illustration, and I'm going to close with this. 40 years ago, this is what the guy who wrote the book said. 40 years ago, I was a lifeguard and a water safety instructor. I taught people how to swim. Often the people who sign up for swimming lessons are afraid of water. They want to overcome their anxiety about being in water, so I had a process for teaching them that began with me splashing water on them. And I wanted them to get used to the unpredictable nature of water and to discover that they could remain safe while in it. The next step was to help them put their heads underwater. Once that was accomplished, I asked them to float on their backs. And this was the big test. Lying flat on the water without their feet on the ground was a scary situation for many of those people. With nothing beneath them, they lost a sense of control, especially since they didn't yet know how to swim. But I would place my arms in the water beneath them and assure them that I had them. They were safe. My arms held them up, and I told them as they lay there that they were safe. And step by step, they learned to feel secure where they had previously felt insecurity. Many of us are afraid to lie down and rest. We wonder how we will ever make it if we relinquish the reins of control. Yet our shepherd is telling us that first and foremost, we need to lie down and rest. And that's what David said. We need to understand that when we depend on Him, we find safety and we find green pastures and we find still water. Our ability doesn't hold us up. It's His loving arms that holds us up. And knowing this truth alone and applying it to our thoughts and decisions will do more for restoring our soul than most anything else can. The rest of this psalm we'll talk about next week. It talks about, you know, being, let me get it right here. I'm sorry, I'm distracted for a moment. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, for you're with me. The use of the rod and the staff to comfort you and I. I don't believe David would have ever written this psalm if he had not had crisis times in his life. I don't believe he would have ever talked about God being his shepherd in the way that he talked about it here if he himself had not experienced being a shepherd. So Jehovah Rohi, for him, is that God was his personal shepherd. God was the personal good shepherd in David's life. And God took care of him when he could not take care of himself. God led him when David could not lead himself. God defended him when David could not defend himself. God provided for him when God could not provide for himself. To me, that's a beautiful picture of part of what the Heavenly Father does for you and I on a daily basis. He is our shepherd. He's the one who provides for us. He's the one who protects us. You say, well, wait, Brother Kenny, you don't understand. I got a job, I work all the time. That's how the provisions are coming. God provided that for you. God gave you the strength. God gave you the ability to do that. God gave you the wisdom and the intelligence how to make that work and to keep that going. And God gets all the credit for every good thing that's going on in our lives. I don't want to be a sheep without a shepherd. I don't want to try to do this on my own. I have felt the assault of Satan on my life. And maybe you have too. And the thing about it is where am I going to turn? Who am I going to turn to? I'm going to turn to my good shepherd who has got my back, who knows me, who knows what I need, and he knows how to take care of me when I couldn't do it on my own. Let me ask you a question, church. Aren't you glad that God loves us in spite of our performance? Aren't you glad that he loves us based on his character and his willingness and his great love rather than how good we might try to be or how smart we think we are? You know, one of the things that I've tried to make clear in the Sunday school class for the last 5 or 6 months is God uses people who don't have much confidence in themselves that they could ever be used in the kingdom of God. And I've shared with you my own personal testimony that when I first got saved, I really didn't think God would be able to use me to do anything because I was so bashful and backward, and y'all can't imagine that, I know. But that's how it really was. And I'm so glad that I have a God who cares about the things that I can't fix on my own. And aren't you glad that he doesn't love you based on your performance, that he loves you based on who he is? That's our shepherd. He leads those sheep because he loves those sheep. Questions, comments, observations, objections? Y'all are way too easy. I love you and I appreciate you. Let's be thankful for our good shepherd. Let's stand and pray if you don't mind. Randy, dismiss us, please, sir.